almost from nowhere. What do we know about Nicodemus? Well, we know he was an important person. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was a great court. Today, maybe our equivalent could be the Supreme Court. So he was important, Isaac. Yeah, he was a real, new, big, top, important man. And really, he had heard about Jesus and he wanted to know more about Jesus. And what did he do? He came to Jesus when? Was it bright sunshine or what? By night, thank you. By night. Why did he come to Jesus by night? Any ideas? You know me, my style. No one's allowed to just look down and look at the carpet. I like to get everybody involved. Why by night, do you think? Sorry? Secret. He didn't want to be seen. Is that what we do when we don't want mom or dad to find out what we're up to, or we don't want anybody else to find out what we're up to? It's by night, it's in secret, whatever. Well, that's what he did. And this ruler, he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus all sorts of questions about life, be born again. You're different. Even addresses Jesus as rabbi, master, teacher in the Hebrew. Rabbi, it's a great respect he had for Jesus. And then Jesus talked about how to be born again and what he had to do and so on. And again, I'm sure you won't mind, and excuse me saying, because I want to get everybody energized for camp this week. Not that you need energizing, because you're all energized already. So our text tonight, yeah, familiar text. Nathan would have picked it up. John chapter 3 and verse 16. That's what we're going to look at. And believe it or not, there are six things we're going to look at in there. Yep, six. And I said it's going to be one of the briefest sermons you've heard for a while on a Sunday night. And yet he's got six things. Let's see how we go. Stay with me. So John chapter 3 and verse 16, we have these amazing words, aren't there? All right, let's all say it together. Ready? After three. Ready? Three. For God
so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen. What a verse. Actually, it's too big for me. I don't quite know. I'm only, again, just going to touch it, the surface of it. So, six things. I want you to notice. First thing is the passion of God's love. The passion of God's love. Look at it. For God, what's it saying? Can you see? Underline in blue. So loved. Never rush over John 3:16. Our problem is we rush over it too much and we think we know it. Look at the word so. For God so loved the world. Put your name there. Preachers often say that. For God so loved. Dalton King. Sorry, say Nathan, Isaac. All the names I remember. All of you. Come on, give me your name. I should remember all your names. For God so loved. And it's rich. There's a sense of intensity with that. And we're not overplaying. It's intense. It's real. It's from God. For God so loved. And you know, sometimes we feel unloved. We feel, oh boy, I feel so low. Actually, we don't want to feel like that because we've got a great God who so loved us. The passion of God's love. And we want that same passion. Leaders, come on, camp. Yeah, we're gearing up. We've got such a message to tell people. We want them to see from us and our lives this great God that we worship. So love them. Point number one. Okay, I might involve some of you in a minute. Point number two. I want you to notice the perimeter, what I call the perimeter of God's love. Right, who can tell me? I want you to pick, there's two words in that verse describes the perimeter of God's love. Who's going to tell me? Look at it. For God so... Right, I won't read anymore. What's a perimeter? Two words. The world. That's right. For God so loved the world. You think of the world. It's vast. You know, so I'm just driving to Ashbourne this morning. I thought, oh, how lovely here. Look at the fields and whatever. And we drive from you know, Leicester here this morning. There's a bit of rain from Leicester. Then it stopped. Then it rained again. But everywhere, you know, you're going for miles and miles. But Ashbourne to Leicester, that's nothing. Is it to Jamaica? I mean, now you're talking. You know, nine miles. The world. Isn't that big? It's amazing, isn't it? So whether we're black, white, purple, pink, yellow, do you know what, people? It doesn't matter. Because we're going to God who so loved us, so loved us, just as we are. Sadly, we don't respond as we should. People still want to go their own way, thinking they know best. But we see the perimeter of God's love. And this love, yes, you know, leaders, we want to make that known this week. And we're going to make it known. May not necessarily be this text you're going to preach on, but whatever the Lord gives you, whatever you're all doing, make sure we talk about this great love. All right. Try and remember the points. I've made it easy. All PPs, all Ps, yeah? What's the third thing? Again, I'm going to get you all involved. The proof of God's love. Two words. Come on. Where's the proof? What did he do? Two words from that verse. He gave. Thank you. Yeah, no, simple, straightforward stuff, but it's important. Don't rush it. He gave. He gave. And we know who he gave, don't we? His one and only son. And I find that absolutely incredible that the Lord was willing, God was willing to send the Lord Jesus into this world. And you know, there's a cross. If you turn to Genesis chapter 22, and you know what I'm going to say here, because I want you to see this here, because we've got an illustration here that we all know, Genesis 22. And here was this man, Abraham, yeah? And God spoke to Abraham almost from nowhere, just come straight in. And it says here, let's read from verses 1 and 2. Let's get the picture. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested. It's important we see the word tested. It doesn't say tempted. God doesn't tempt people. It's important we make that important point. God, he was testing Abraham. So God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, now this is it. Take now your son, your only son. We say reverently, it's as if the Lord's really rubbing it in now. Your only son, whom you love. Oh boy. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, let's be honest. When you read it just on the cold light of day, that seems horrendous for those of us who have got children and we love our children. And, you know, if our children suffer and we've got a dear family in our church, their daughter's got cancer. She's had so many operations and, you know, it's quite over these last few years. And you could see just looking at the parents, how they just feel it. And in a sense, they are wishing it was them going through what their daughter's going through. And it's hard. And it's tough. And some of us know friends, perhaps even in this church, and others that we care for. And, you know, this young lady who's had cancer, she's had it for 2 or 3 years. She's full of the Lord. Do you know, she's such an incredible witness. And whatever we're going through, even though it may feel so hard to talk about or to explain to anybody, just remember this, God will not abandon you. He won't leave you. You're precious to him. He knows what you're going through, even though church members may not fully understand. God knows, and he's going to keep you to the end. So we've got to do our best not to allow, and it's easy for me to stand here and say these things, but let's not allow our feelings and everything to take over, that we think, Lord, we're in a world of complete panic and disaster, and we think, what's going to happen? Trust God, please, every step of the way. But here was Abraham. The Lord said, that's what I want you to do. Go and offer your son, Isaac. Well, verse 3, he rose up early, it says, in the morning, saddled his donkey, and he went off to do as the Lord had commanded. And we know the story, don't we? And we won't get lost in the detail. Because in the end, he got his son ready to offer him up as a sacrifice. And then there was a what? Caught in a thicket. What was caught in a thicket? A what? A ram, that's right. Caught in the thicket. And in the end, we know he didn't have to sacrifice his son. And that's a picture. What Abraham was doing there, offering up his son, we see ultimately, that was a picture ultimately of what Christ Jesus dying on the cross, God's only son, coming in the form, you know, the God coming in the form of flesh. Can't get my head around that. The God-man, it's incredible. Jesus, the God-man. You know, it didn't start in Christmas Day, in a sense. It'd been in eternity. I better not get technical, but this is where my mind can't take it in, because the God-man, God coming down into time. And I love that hymn. What's that carol that we're singing? Man contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Thank you. It's incredible. The God-man. So Abraham, he offered his son Isaac, and we see that as a picture ultimately of what God did in sending Christ Jesus, the proof of his love. He gave, and that's wonderful. He gave Jesus. But then I want you to notice, fourthly, not just the proof of his love, the price of God's love. Again, there are three words I want you to notice. The price of his love. Right, who can find the three words from there that tells us the price of his love? Three words.
His only son.
His only son, thank you. His only son. What a price. What a price. What are we willing to give to God? What are we willing to give up? Are we still holding on to things? Are we? Do you know, in our lives, in my life, sometimes the Lord needs to burn the dross. You know what I mean by the dross? The things that get in the way. Hey, guys, boys, and for all of us, we get loads of things that get in the way, don't we? Instead of us following Jesus, Lord, I want to follow you. We get all these obstacles. Oh, no, I like the obstacles, Lord. I don't know about following you. No, we want to go on. And it thrills me seeing you two guys here. Great. I know you might feel, oh, my dad's a pastor. I've got to come. Oh. No. You're here because you want to come. Praise God. Great to see that. Tremendous. But what a God. The price of God's love. His only son. His dear son. Oh, such love. Such love demonstrated to you and to me. And then fifthly, still in this verse, we're not moved from John 3:16 yet, have we? Hey, it's rich. When I was looking at this, I thought, boy, I'm not ready to preach on it yet. I still feel I'm just touching it. But then fifthly, I want you to notice the protection that we can know by God's love. Three words that tells us about the protection that we can know. Who can tell me? Three words from there. Protection. Should not perish, right? Glenn's on form. He's listening in. No, straight on. Did you look at my PowerPoint? No. Okay. Should not perish. We've been protected. Should not die without God. Because really, let's be honest, that's what we all deserve. Dog and King, we deserve it. All of us. To be separated from God for all eternity. But because of his love, his mercy, his kindness, he talks about because of his love, we're not consumed already. New every morning. Help me finish it. New every morning, his mercy is wonderfully new. Okay? Or is it me with another version? Oh, there we go. But it's great. What protection? Should not perish, should not die without God. I have a lovely, lovely Muslim neighbor. I couldn't wish for another neighbor. The guy's so lovely. And he often off to the mosque, and he's invited me to the mosque. But I said, look, I've invited you to church first. When you come to our church, I'll then come to the mosque. And he's not budging at the minute. But, you know, I would go to the mosque, but I've done my invite first, so he needs to come to mine first. But lovely guy. But I say to him, what's going to happen when you die? He doesn't know where he's going or what's what. in his mind, in his teaching. Oh, well, we don't know if we're really good and, oh, it's not about being good, is it? Are we good people? Are we good? No, of course we're not. And even our, can I use the word, even our bestest is not good enough for God. Our bestest, if we can say bestest, probably can't. But, you know, because God is so holy, he cannot look on anything that's impure or unholy. And because of that, he so loved us, he said, Jesus, and instead of us dying, perishing away, we see the protection that we can know of his love by us trusting in him and in him alone. How amazing is this verse? And then finally, yes, can you believe it? The provision of God's love. Again, three words. Come on. What's a provision? Sorry? Three words. What are they? Have eternal life. That's right. Praise the Lord. Have eternal life. And that's his provision. What provision? Eternal life. Do you think this is it here? This is life in Ashbourne. You know, we get up, sleep, and go to bed, and that's it. No. What have we got to come, people? What's to come? Heaven. Praise God. And we're looking forward to that. This is why we've got camp. This is why we've, you know, we've got Nathan preaching faithfully here. Tremendous preaching. Why? Because we've got a message for a lost world. Yes, message for Christians as well, for all of us. It's God's word. Don't underestimate it. Got to love it. Treasure it, haven't we? Keep saying, oh, is it because I can't remember your brother's name? What's your name? Sorry? Elliot. I should have remembered that, shouldn't I? There we are. But you know, what love? What provision? Eternal life. We can't imagine it. Eternal life. We have a different body. We haven't got to worry about illnesses in heaven, have we? Someone, I may have shared this before, but great Christian man, he was preaching on heaven. And he was going through all the things. He said, there'll be no this in heaven, no this, and there'll be no doctors in heaven, he says. Of course, you know what I'm going to say. There's a doctor in the congregation. And he stood up and he said, by the grace of God, I'm a doctor. I'll be there. What he meant was, no need for a doctor. Why? Because we'll have a perfect body. You know, the aches and pains that we feel, that I feel, yeah? What am I now? 66, I still feel the aches and pains. Some people are very nice to me and say, you don't look it. Well, I tell you, I feel it sometimes. But, you know, there we go. New body. Heaven, what a day that will be. And do you know what? We must look forward to that day. And sometimes, you know, we can allow other things, periphery things all around to get in the way. But we've got to keep marching. Where we're marching to? We're marching to Zion, that beautiful city of our God. May the Lord keep us all marching. Eternal life. And what did Jesus do? Well, he went to the cross, didn't he? As we know. And he died. But praise God, it doesn't finish there because he died and we know he rose again. We're serving a risen Savior tonight. We say amen. Not some dead, you know, prophet of some good man that did something really good, lots of good things. He's alive. And because he's alive, our faith is real. And it means that, you know, we've got to keep on telling this good news, this great gospel, to men and women and boys and girls. And I'll be keep on praying for the camp every single day this week, people. I will be. And may the Lord cause us all to love him more and be blessed. So never just read John 3:16 and that's it. Remember the points. If you like going back. And I won't, you know, tease you. See, remember that. All the things there. I won't repeat. It's all up there. All the please. So, so important. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this incredible verse where we feel I haven't even got even fully underneath it yet because it's perhaps too big for me. And yet, Lord, it reminds us of all that you are and for all that you have done. Help me, help us all to simply pray, oh, for grace, to love you more. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing our closing hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.